Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's Wednesday, and the Packers are not in the news. There's just not a lot to talk about when it comes to anything timely having to do with the green and gold, unless you want to talk about losing out on an XFL guard to the Patriots or the cutting of a third kicker. Not a lot of headlines being generated, and of course, that's what the Packers like. That's what most NFL teams hope for during this stretch of the offseason. New Madden trailer dropped. I'm begging you, EA. Just give me guards who won't disengage right after their initial block and then wander upfield and block no one while my ball carrier is like, little help? That's all I want. Or a safety who honors the actual principles of a cover three rather than, I guess, being drawn to another receiver when he should clearly be playing this other guy because of ratings, I guess. Like, just the little things. Just the little things. I don't need all the bells and whistles. Just the little things. You know, that's just me. This is something I'm into. I'm also into talking to Packers fans worldwide each and every day right here on Cheesehead TV. Can't thank you guys enough for your patience. Yesterday, no daily. Thought I was having some work done here in the studio, only to be shafted again by a handyman here in the Astoria area. Can't tell you, man, good help is hard to find. So I went out and bought some paint, painted the wall myself, gussied it up, and I thought, you know what, I'm moving in October anyway, so I'm not going to go too crazy and spend a whole lot of time and effort making things just right here just so I can tear it all up and move it someplace else once football season starts. But hopefully this looks okay, isn't too offensive to the eyes, and you guys can still hear my sonorous voice as I discuss the green and gold with you each and every day, as well as giving shouts out to my good friends over at Ticket King. That's right, folks. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. Not in Green Bay? No problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, in the description of this video, or on our app. Do it, folks. You don't want to utilize StubHub or SeatGeek or Ticketmaster. None of this national nonsense. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. For all your Packers ticket needs, use Ticket King. Hello to everyone in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody already mixing it up. I will say I did enjoy this early interaction from Guitar Ted, who said, "Hell, everyone, go Pack, go." I meant, hello, sorry. And then Jim responds, either way. Because, yeah, it's hot out there. It's a hot one. It's like 90-something here in New York today, and I'm sure it's hot in a lot of other places where everybody's tuning in. Has me dreaming of the summer. Has me dreaming of training camp and training camp battles and guys getting pads on and trying to make claims and win jobs. I mean, from the trenches, where obviously the offensive line is probably going to be in the headlines quite a bit throughout camp, I do think it's probably going to end up looking like the battle, so to speak, will be at right guard between Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan, a battle I suspect Sean Ryan will probably win. And I think the line ends up being, this is just guesswork, in June, but most likely Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom, provided, of course, he comes back, hits the ground running after that torn pec. But that's where I'm thinking right now in early June. On the defensive side of the ball, I'm fascinated to see the cornerback position and how those guys fight for that spot opposite Jaire Alexander. In fact, I spoke with Cody Alexander from Match Quarters here on the channel, dropped that video a little while ago, about an hour ago. If you haven't had a chance, I highly recommend you check it out. Cody has, you know, forgotten more about defense than I will ever know. He is doing great work over there at Match Quarters, and he's doing previews of each NFL defense, and he finally got to the Packers, and I said, I got to talk to you about it. So we just had a good half-hour-plus chat about the Green Bay Packers defense heading into 2024. I hope you guys check that out here on the channel. Hello, everybody, on the comment section. So good to see everybody. Some super chats already up in here. Kyle coming out strong. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. if weight didn't become an issue, how good was Eddie Lacy going to become? I was watching that game against Dallas when he had the bum ankle. Man, he was fun to watch. Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Random Packer, Howard Green. Ooh, Howard Green. Packers legend, Howard Green. Yeah, Eddie Lacy could have been an absolute all-timer. And it's unfortunate that, you know, he made his way out of the league like he did, but he was special. That 2014 season in particular will always be one of my favorites. He was a dynamic presence in the backfield. And I think what gets lost about Eddie in his time in Green Bay, even when he wasn't as productive maybe as you would have liked him to be as a ball carrier, he was always spot on in pass pro and in the passing game in general. In fact, I think he was way underrated, and probably most people don't forget how good he was in the passing game. But there was never a moment when he was in the backfield where Aaron Rodgers was in jeopardy. He was always there, always knew his assignment, was always ready to step in, put his, you know, use his leverage and make sure that that blitzing linebacker or safety or whoever was not going to touch the quarterback. And that's what you love, man. That's what the type of play you need back there. And that's something that where you see the highlights, the spin moves and the big plays, of which there were plenty, right? But I think people forget that aspect of it. He was rock solid in that regard and a great, great teammate. And yeah, it's unfortunate that he didn't, you know, get to last as long as I would have liked him to, because I think he was a really, really good player. But what was that line from Blade Runner? The light that shines twice as bright burns half as long, and you have shone so very, very brightly, Roy. She said, Joey, what's up, man? They did Javon Bullard dirty in the Madden trailer. That just keeps up a long tradition, Joey. I will never forget the year after the Packers got run over by Colin Kaepernick in the playoffs. The following year when Madden released their trailer, it was almost like every other clip was just the Packers getting run around or over or through. You know, hey, if the Packers want to, you know, get off that train, they could tackle better. Hey, at least they've moved on from Darnell Savage, who is the latest in the long line of Packers who put stuff on tape that was embarrassing, like his whiff of Christian McCaffrey in the playoffs, which allowed the 49ers to retake the lead. But, you know, Javon Bullard is guilty by association. He's a Packers defender. And so that is what people think of Packers defenders. I did enjoy his tweet, though. It was very humorous. But, Devon, welcome to Green Bay. I hope you are part of the turnaround, which means that the Green Bay Packers defense will be featured in highlights on Madden rather than getting shown up. That'd be great. I'd really appreciate it as someone who plays with the Packers each and every day of my fucking life online. Yeah, that'd be great. Trevor, thanks for the super chat. Packers legend Dan Vitale, met him once. Danny Vitale, still waiting for that wheel route. He is a legend. Joey, thanks again, man. Random Packer, Raven Green. Raven Green, who did an interview for us for our draft guide a couple years ago. Raven's a good dude. Joe, thanks for the super chat. NFL fans will like new kickoff rules or no? I think they will. I think only because there's more, you know, potential for action. You know, I think lots of folks have probably, if they're being honest, relegated the kickoff or had relegated the kickoff to, okay, I'm going to go get my drink or, you know, do one last kind of check of Twitter or whatever before I pay attention to the game. Whereas now I think there's a decent chance, like there could be some big plays. There could be guys breaking tackles and making something happen. So yeah, I think it will absolutely renew interest in the play and people maybe pay attention a little bit more because, I mean, before, what was it? I think like 70-80% of the kicks were going into the end zone and becoming touchbacks. So this should add a little bit of interest in that regard. Oh, FMCH. We got a lot of random Packers today. Reggie Begleton. I really thought that kid was going to take off in Green Bay. I know, I think he was in the CFL last I checked, but shout out. Dustin, thanks for the super chat, man. Nags, hope you can stop over for an old-fashioned during training camp over on Shadow Lane. Go Pack, go. Dustin, I mean, you're talking old fashions on Shadow Lane. I am there. Just let me know. Shoot me an email at aaron@cheeseheadtv.com. You make the old fashions, I will show up. There's zero doubt about it. Adrian, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. I always thought Lacey's problems were related to trauma from Katrina. Adrian, I'm not going to pretend to have any kind of insight in that regard or pretend that I have any kind of expertise into knowing someone's you know, problems or trauma or what have you behind the scenes or related to past traumas. That it's of every bit a possibility. I'm not discounting your idea, but you know, I'm a dude who drinks beer and watches football. I could never really delve into that kind of thing without talking to Eddie about it, at least, you know. Chris, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, I always had this debate. Do you think the threat of Aaron Rodgers for so many years led to Packers running backs being more productive than they should have been? That is a fascinating question. I don't know, man, because it was always so hard to get them to commit to getting the ball to those running backs. I mean, they very rarely utilized the running back out of the backfield in the passing game under McCarthy. And even when they were facing two high shells and lots of two man, Aaron made it his mission to try and beat it with his arm. You know, there were so precious few moments where they were like really committing to the ground game. And when they did, it was against an opponent who traditionally was susceptible to it for other reasons, like playing lots of cloud coverage, or they used cover three in abundance and they were trying to make something happen on the ground up front. You know, Mike, I thought, did a better job than people probably remember as far as trying to get the run going. But, you know, I don't think for a moment that if you, whether you're talking Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, you go back to Eddie Lacy, what have you. I think, you know, those guys are talented and they made things happen. Certainly the presence of Aaron Rodgers has an effect. I would never say that, oh, they were only productive or they only did what they did numbers-wise because of Aaron Rodgers. I think there's way too many things going on for that to be true. But I don't doubt there's certainly an effect, right? As far as, yeah, you're probably facing a fewer number of stacked boxes, though that changed. That certainly changed, especially his last few years in Green Bay. But yeah, I think there's something to that. I think no doubt about it, he had an effect on how defenses played the Packers offense, and that should have allowed them to find a crease here or there, especially with how much too high they faced and too man they faced. Like traditionally you would think, okay, that's a look you want to run against. But again, both Aaron, and I'm not putting it all on Aaron, it's Mike as well. They very much believed in guys winning ISO routes and having Aaron, because he was Aaron fucking Rodgers, like being able to win with his arm. They just never really committed to it for any of these backs to really kind of take advantage in a way that maybe you're thinking of there. Joey, what's up, man? Do you think we see Watson doing kick returns? I don't. I think probably they toy with it. I think there's a chance you see him out there during training camp and even maybe even a preseason game or two. But I think ultimately you're going to want someone, I don't know, a bit more renowned for running through contact and breaking tackles and things of that regard. Whereas with Christian, you're just trying to keep him on the field. You know, there's no secret here. There's no mystery how much time he's missed over the last couple of years. I can't imagine they want to put him in harm's way that way. But hey, maybe the idea is he's just going to outrun everybody, and I'm down with that. Chris, thanks again, man. Random Packer, Jeremy Thompson, very short-lived. That's a deep cut, man. Jeremy Thompson. Hey, man, we take all comers here. Walter, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Do you ever see a wide receiver in Green Bay getting paid top-end money with the way the market is shaping and the success we have had with drafting them? That's an excellent question. I think it's unlikely. I think when and if and when they do sign whoever from this wide receiving core, and probably Christian Watson is probably going to be first up in that regard, if he's able to stay on the field and produce like we think he's capable of, I think they're going to really try to sell it as far as, A, getting out ahead of it and giving them a lot of guaranteed money on that first kind of crack, but making it, and this is what Ted did so many times, where, yeah, we're going to take our medicine right now, we're going to pay as we go, so to speak, but even a year or two later, it's going to be a bargain for the team, you know, and they're going to sell whoever it is on, you know, stick with us, stick with Jordan, we got something really special cooking here. Yeah, you can go someplace else and probably make a little bit more money, but you know, you're not going to have the opportunities like you are here in this offense with Jordan pulling the trigger, etc. And that's what they did with Aaron so many years as well. You know, guys got paid, but again, it was the way we just discussed. Like, we'd get a huge chunk of guaranteed money up front, and then we make sure that in a couple of years that was a total bargain. That's what happened with Devontae, that final contract he signed when Ted was in town. That was the last two things Ted did as general manager, literally, signing Devontae and Corey Linsley to extensions. It was like his going away present to Brian. And that Devontae extension in particular, even then, when wide receiver money wasn't anywhere near what it is now, even then, 2 years into it, it was a fucking deal. And I think that's how they're going to continue to operate. I think that's, you know, they're going to find who they can find to take some really good money up front, but know that, yeah, a couple years down the line, this is going to be a bargain comparative to your peers. And, you know, that's down to each guy, what he wants and where he thinks he's headed in his career. But, yeah, man, if they weren't going to pay Devontae fucking Adams, and I know the whole, yeah, they were going to, et cetera thing, but they were never going to guarantee money after the first year, which is the actual crux of that issue, which no one ever talks about. But they were never going to do that. They were never going to cave the way the Steelers did with TJ Watt. That was never going to happen. So, yeah, if they weren't going to do that for Devontae fucking Adams, yeah, I can't imagine they would do that with anybody else. So we'll see. We will see. Kyle, thanks again, man. Who has more TDs this year? Jacobs, Nixon, Reed, or Kraft? Random Packer, Bucky Brooks. Bucky, cup of tea, cup of coffee with Green Bay Brooks. Love me some Bucky. More TDs this year. Jacobs, Nixon, Reed, or Kraft? That's a potpourri of names right there. Give me Jacobs. I'm telling you guys, I'm going to keep saying it. I think Jacobs is going to can eat in Matt's offense. And I think because of his availability, his ability to stay on the field, his being a three-down back, and his usage in the passing game, which really hasn't been scratched yet, I don't think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns. Now watch, he'll end up like Aaron Jones with like two or something. But no, yeah, give me Jacobs. Matthew, thanks for the super chat. Next, we starting Bullard at safety day one. I know Cody thinks so. If you check out my chat with Cody, he's all in on that idea. I think there's a very good chance. They're never going to hand a rookie a starting job in the offseason. I know Anthony Johnson Jr. was running with the ones for most of the offseason program. But I think once those pads come on, once they start hitting, once shit starts getting real, there's a very good chance that Bullard's your starter opposite McKinney. But hey, you never really know as far as the day-to-day at camp and guys making plays and making a case for themselves. And that's what I was talking about at the top as far as like training camp battles. Evan Williams could be the starter. That would not shock me. You know, the Oladapo thing is interesting because I love his game and I think he's got a ton of upside and really fits with his defense, but he missed most, if not all, of the offseason with being injured, you know? So you're going to be a little bit behind the eight ball in that regard. But yeah, Evan Williams, Von Bullard, I think either one of them could be the starter opposite McKinney in week one. We shall see. Jeezy Baby, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Where is Uncultured Barbarian? Missed my song of the day. Jeezy Baby, I'll give you a song of the day. The song of the day is Everything Counts by Depeche Mode in honor of Jordan Love about to be handed the bag. Everything counts in large amounts. William, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. Do you think if Devontae stayed, Aaron would have played better and would have stayed, or do you think they would have moved on to Jordan? Oh, yeah, if Devontae stays, I still think they make the move to Jordan Love. I think Aaron probably would have put up some better numbers, would have played better, quote-unquote, but I still think they would have turned the page after that first year once Jordan was ready. It's like Andrew Brandt always says, you know, you don't get drafted in the first round with the plan of not playing the guy. Like, he was the guy that Brian wanted to turn the keys over to, you know? It's just a question of when it was going to happen. And even if, you know, they go and win a playoff game or something and Devontae puts up huge numbers, etc., I still think they would have traded Aaron. Now, the one place where that gets tricky in the land of make-believe is if they go and win a Super Bowl. Then it would have been real tough. But as we all know, that wasn't the problem. That wasn't an issue at all. Oh, boy, Dennis. I know you hate fantasy football, but do you agree with the synopsis ranking of number 20 for the Packers defense? I understand it. I mean, as far as like their upside, I mean, I think they're a steal, especially because of that ranking. You can probably, if you're playing in a league where you're taking a team defense, you can wait on them forever because no one else is going to try and swipe them, right? And I do think they've got some really good upside as far as creating turnovers, big plays, things of that nature. But, you know, do I think that's out of bounds? No. I mean, that's a lot of unknowns. It's a big switch in scheme. It's a lot of new pieces in place, you know. Who knows, man? They'll probably be available on your waiver wire like a month into the season, and you can swipe them up just as they're hitting their kind of stride, so to speak, right? So, yeah, I don't think that's crazy at all. Oh, Mr. Mikey Riggs, what's up? Next, do you know Luna guitarist Sean Eden from North Carolina School of the Arts? I will admit I know the name. I don't know him, but shout out School of the Arts. All alums are welcome here on this chat. Stoner Rogers, great handle. Thanks for checking out the stream on X. How did AJJ Anthony Johnson Jr. look last year, and where does he fit this year? That is an excellent question. It's, you know, interesting that they're running him with the starters this offseason, though he is the guy with experience, right? I think he had a really inconsistent rookie campaign, but you got to remember, and this is shout out to Justice, because he's the one who really pointed this out to me last offseason when we were talking leading up to last year's training camp. What he did in college was so exponentially different than what he was being asked to do in the pros. They ran a three safety system when he was in school. And, you know, what they were doing under Joe Barry, very, very different. I do think you see the promise, and you see a guy who's a willing tackler. Certainly the game doesn't seem too big or too fast for him, but he's got a long way to go to really crack the regular rotation. I think he can be a demon on special teams, and I think that's how he's going to make his mark, and that's how he's going to kind of make this team. Because if you're sitting there and you're Anthony Johnson Jr., a former seventh-round pick, and they draft three safeties, okay, time to up my game, you know? So, yeah, I think he's got a chance to stick, but it is not a given by any stretch of the imagination. A Jedation, thanks for the super chat. Love Goody, but he was too slow moving off Rodgers. I will always maintain, because I agree, I think he should have traded Rodgers a year earlier, but I don't think it was entirely his call. And I know I sit here all the time and say, oh, the roster is his. And that is true 99.9% of the time. But when it comes to the face of the franchise quarterback who also just won two MVPs, I'm pretty sure Mark Murphy stepped in and said, okay, let's slow down a little bit. And I know there's been kind of rumblings and rumors that Brian did want to trade Aaron after that second MVP season. And, you know, he was somewhat kind of overruled by the triumvirate of Mark Murphy, Russ Ball, and Matt LaFleur. That's just rumors. I'm not reporting it, but, you know, I think, yeah, Brian, if he had had his druthers, probably would have, but I'm pretty sure Mark Murphy was like, let's sign him to a deal. That's just guesswork on my part. But yes, I think if we were talking about in a vacuum, I think I'm with you. I would have done it the year before and gotten that sweet, sweet Denver deal. But hey, it's all in the past. Jordan Love's here now. He's ready to ball out. Can't wait. IBN, thank you so much. Nags, much love, big bruh. Thanks. Thanks, IBN. I appreciate you, man. All right. I cannot thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. A bit of an announcement. I haven't seen Soder here, but he'd be excited to know. Later tonight, I'm going to be on Twitch. I'm going to be playing some Madden. Maybe even some Euros in my FIFA games, but I'm going to be streaming, be hanging out. Come on by, grab a beer. Let's chat. It's going to be fun. Probably around 8 o'clock or so. So 8 Eastern, that is. So hope to see you there on the Cheesehead TV Twitch channel. In the meantime, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.